Okay, we're on Daf Hey, we got Dalit. Let's see where we're up to. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So now that we've concluded that we don't know the answer to the question as to why Bedikas Chametz is at night, after all, even if Zrizu Makdim LeMitzvah, the earliest time for Zrizus is the morning. So we have to come up with another justification as to why they established Bedikas Chametz at night. And the answer is Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Let's just see if everybody has the place. It's approximately 10 lines up from the bottom. No, my mistake. It's like smack in the middle of the page. Mm-hmm. You have it?
Yeah.
What would be a good sign? It's across from... across from Tosis Dira Maskel on Maskel.
The line starts with Bowie.
The line starts with the word Shenemar. Yeah. You see a Tosis ala Maskel Livdok? Do you see that Tosis? Yes, no, maybe. No Tosis ala Maskel on Daftal and Amanalf. There's a Tosis called ala Maskel Livdok.
Yeah?
You see a Tosis ala Maskel Livdok? So if you drop down in that Tosis about three or four lines, so you'll see a line that starts with the word Shenemar.
Oh, you're further up. You're further up. Okay.
So at the end of that line, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Bishah, that there's something special about that Shah, about that hour, which is Tchilas HaLaila. And please keep in mind that when we say the Bedikas Chametz is at night, we mean the beginning of the night. You know, the night is 12 hours long, but we're talking about the beginning of the night. So what's unique about the beginning of the night? Shebnei Adam Mitzuyim Bebateihem, that people come home, let's say they put in a good day's work, and now they come home after a day's work, they're about to eat their su'uda, right? They're going to eat dinner. And everybody's around, everyone's available. It's a good time to set up a mitzvah when everyone's available. You know, when you're rushed and you have a million things on your agenda, it's hard to remember that you have to take care of this particular obligation and fulfill the mitzvah bedika. So the Rabbana wanted to be misakin Bedika, not by day, but Bedika by night, because it's a moment in which everyone is available. We have the family together, everyone's gathered, we can start and we can remind each other. It's a fixed time, I would say. You know, we want to attach it to a fixed time. You know, today we work with all sorts of technology. You know, there are not only clocks, but you can program your phone to buzz, you know, at a certain moment. But in those days, they didn't have all that. So what was the buzz? What was the moment that everyone's around? And, you know, this is the time for Bedika. You can make a universal responsibility or requirement for everyone to do Bedika. That's at the beginning of the night. And that's called Shah Shebnei Adam Mitzuyim Bebateihem. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, for some unknown reason, doesn't stop here. You know, sometimes we would say, if you're familiar with the phrase, quit while you're ahead. Or in Hebrew it's called kol amosif goreh. You know, sometimes you add too much and it goes down. And that, now at this point, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak adds another, what seems to be another independent variable into the equation, and we're going to see that this is going to have tremendous halachic repercussions, but you'll have to be patient, you'll have to wait for that. And that is V'or haner yofel b'dika, that the light of the ner is good for b'dika. Now if you take a look at Rashi says the following. This is the last of the skinny lines in Rashi. He says, "Or haner yofel b'dika b'alayla, at night, Aval bayom, what is the impact of a ner during the day? Machshich. Machshich means instead of adding light, it makes it darker. It makes it even more difficult to see. V'im tomar, this is very atypical of Rashi, it's like a Tosfos. Rashi has a kash and gives a teretz. V'im tomar yivdok lior hayom. Why does he need the ner? Just drop the ner. If you're telling me the ner is going to be detrimental rather than helpful, so why not just leave out the ner? And he answers, Hayalfina lekamon, for this we have to know a sugya later on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Yalfina means we derive Michipus from the word chipus. Shemitzvah, so that this mitzvah is b'ner. So it's not just b'dika, but rather it's chipus. And we're going to see through Tanakh, the word chipus always appears in Tanakh in conjunction with a ner. So we'll see, that's all on Daf Zayin. Now, when Rashi says, Hayalfinan, I would assume, again, this is the way I was trained, but you know, you may have other training and other shittas, but the way I was trained is whenever you see the word yalfinon, it means that's what the Torah says. You know, you can't ask questions. That's called the alfusa. You can always speculate and you can come up with philosophical possibilities and try to give drushes on it and maybe moral lessons, and it's all wonderful and fine, but it's only speculation. Yalfinon means go ahead and speculate. Rack your brains and try to come up with an explanation. But even if you don't come up with an explanation, it's irrelevant. Why? Because the Torah says, Yalfusa, the Torah says that this is the halacha. It's what's called, in the Rambam's language, very often the Rambam uses the phrase, Gzeiras HaKosav. Like, for example, the Rambam says that, why do we blow a ram's horn on Rosh Hashanah? So Ram says it's Gzeiras HaKosav. We'll never know really why the Torah wants us to blow a ram's horn on Yom Tov. But then the Ram says, El Remez V'esh B'dom. You want to speculate, I can give you a couple of ideas why the ram's horn was chosen by the Torah. But the Ram says, no, that even after all your speculations and all your ethical drushes, it always ends up to be a Yalfusa. It's Gzeiras HaKosav. So here also, Rashi's throwing into B'dikas Chometz an element of Gzeiras HaKosav, a Yalfusa. And that is the requirement of a ner. And the requirement of a ner means that you have to do the bedika with a ner, and that means when the ner is effective rather than beneficial rather than detrimental. If the Torah A requires a ner for bedika, without a ner it's not bedika. If B, the halacha assumes that a ner is beneficial at night, and during the day it's detrimental. Therefore the assumption is that Bedikah itself has to be by night. Because since Bedikah has to be with what? With an Or HaNer. And the Or HaNer is only Yofa when?
Night.
Balayla. Again, but what time of the night? Is there any difference between 7 p.m. you know, or 3 in the morning? No difference. So from the perspective of Rav Nachman's add-on here, that the Or HaNer is Yofel Bedika, I would not be able to establish that Bedikas Chomet should be obligatory at the beginning of the night. Right? For that I need Rav Nachman's Reisha. And that is Bishosh Bnei Yodim Mitzuyim Vateyim. I mean, Mitzuyim Vateyim means they're all around, everyone's gathered together, and we're not distracted by a million and one things. You know, later on in the nighttime, maybe we'll have soirees, we'll have get-togethers, you know, we'll have all sorts of things. But this is called the Tchilas HaLayil.
Yeah, why does Rashi say the Yalfinon is later on in Daf Zayin? We've got it on our first page, on the first line of the Mishnah.
Yalfinon means a derivative from Tanakh. Yeah, the Gemara later on is going to prove that the word chipus, whenever it appears in Tanakh, always appears together with the word ner.
Oh, I see.
You know, today we have computer ways of doing the research, but if you research the word chipus in many different conjugated forms, you'll always find the word ner. Chipus is bener. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to check Yerushalayim with a ner. And there the Torah says chipus. The Tanakh says chipus. So it's going to be a very complicated Yalfusa on Daf Zayin, going through many, many different psukim. And the bottom line of all those derivations is that Bidika, which is Chippus, requires a Ner. And that's what I said, Michael, that's at this point, that's just the way the Torah requires it. We can't ask questions. You can give speculations, but it's speculations.
And how do you know that Bidika is Chippus?
That's also in the Gemara. Bidika equals Chippus. There are a couple of steps in the middle, by the way. I'm just skipping from Chippus, from Bidika till Chippus. I mean, there are a lot of different, you know, Bidika equals this, and this equals that, until that equals Chippus, and it's a whole bunch of equations. So the final line is that what? Is that we need Ner. And Rashi's saying that a Ner during the day is detrimental. You know, you could argue with Rashi, but that's what Rashi presents that thesis.
Is Rav Nachman's Bishosh B'nei Adam, how is that distinct, different than for Hanukkah in terms of is there a beginning time of Hanukkah also? Is there any connection?
Well, again, you know, in Hanukkah we want to get the people on the outside. In Bidika we want to get the people on the inside. So people on the outside are even a little bit later. You know, you might say it's a half hour after Tzeisach Kolchav. But Bidika is going to be R. If you remember, Rabosai, I can't repeat this often enough. The Baal Mor says that the choice of the word R in our Mishnah is to tell you that it's still a little bit light out. You know, it's really the beginning of the night. We're not talking a half hour after Tzeisach Kolchav. So Rabosai, I want to share with you a lot. There's a lot of literature on this Rav Nachman, the statement of Nach Bar Yitzchak. I don't know if we have time to go through all of it. There's an overview here in the Yalkut HaBi'urim, in the back of my Gemara. And most of the literature focuses on the following question. Is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak giving us two independent reasons, or it's really one reason? At the face of it, when we first approach Rav Nachman, it seems like he's giving us two independent reasons. The first reason is because b'nei adam mitzuyim b'bateyan, you know, that's when people are available for bedika, and that's when they can, you know, they can pick up their obligation. And then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak seems to offer another answer to the same question: why is Lila chosen, singled out for bedika as opposed to daytime, for example? And the answer is that Bidika at night has another additional advantage. What's the second advantage of Bidika at night? Above and beyond the fact that people are around, they're at home.
The Ner
is good for Bidika, correct? So it seems, and again, that, you know, if you want to attach a name to this, this is the Baal HaMa'or that I mentioned over and over again, Rabbi Mizrahi Al-Levi. He says that there are two different reasons that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is offering, two different alternative answers to the question as to why nighttime is the appropriate time for Bidika. Now, what's the significance of mentioning that it's two different reasons, and is there anyone who might say that it's one reason? So it seems that there's another explanation here that assumes that it's one reason. Let me try to present that. He says the following. So again, this may be a little bit tedious for you because you don't have the text in front of you, but we'll give it a shot. Okay, we can photocopy it, but I don't know, I'm still not sure if the machine is working, whatever it might be. So it goes like this.
Who is this?
This is the Razor, Rabbi Mizrahi Al-Levi. He says the following. Kavanas HaGemara hi, Shebalayla B'nei Adam Mitzuyim Bibatehem V'or HaNer Shedarkom Lishtamish Bo Bizman Hazer Yofel L'Bedika Yoser Min Hayom. In other words, basically the reason why Rav Nachman says we advocate in favor of Bidika Balayla is because people are available. And then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak adds another point, that if people are available and the requirement of Bidika is to use a Ner, then the Ner itself is shall I say, preferential? No, what word am I using? Is
enhanced.
Is enhanced. Excellent. That's a good word. Is enhanced by Lila. So that seems to be the Baal HaMoreh's approach. So again, the Baal HaMoreh says that the main thrust of according to Rav Nachman, of why we're doing Bedika at night is because Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bebateihem. But we also gain another advantage at night, and that is that the Bedika is beneficial Balayla, that the Ora Ner is beneficial Balayla, that the Ner is Mishubachas, the Or of Ner is Mishubachas Balayla.
You have to have it.
Okay, Michael, give me a few minutes, if you don't mind. I tell you what, I just don't, again, I worked very hard on this, but there are a lot of subtle points here. So, you know, hopefully right now what I'm telling you is all gibberish, but it'll fit into place a little bit later, hopefully. That's my goal. I honestly, I don't think, okay, whatever, I don't think they did a good job here pedagogically, so I worked very hard on this. He says the following. Just give me a few minutes, if you don't mind, just for my own sanity. Okay. He says the following. Ikaratam hu mishum shemitzuyim bebateihem. Avo yeshka maila nosefes shabdika lior haner mishubachas. You know, this Lila is the best time for bdika lior haner. Ubalila, listen to this, derech b'nei Adam lihishtamesh b'ner Umatsui Etzlam. So again, I'm not sure why he adds this point, but he's saying the following, that not only are people available at that time, and not only are they going to use a Ner at that time, but the Neros themselves are accessible. Why? Because once it's nighttime, that's when people open up their drawer, I guess, and they take out the Neros. There are those who rejected this Baal HaMoreh. This is, again, I'm just going to mention names. It's not important that we get this down. I'm not going to test you on it, but there's a Ramchal like this and Rabbeinu Chananel. Heim heviu divrei Yushalmi. And Yushalmi says, Shebelaila or haner meir yofeh me'or hachama. Okay, then don't ask me any questions here. I'm just telling you what he says. He says if you had to compare a bedika to Or HaChama to a bedika L'Or HaNer, he says that a bedika L'Or HaNer would be superior to a bedika L'Or HaChama. Maybe he gets into small places, whatever it might be. Again, let's hold our horses for a second. So now, it comes out that according to these Rishonim, the Gemara is actually offering another reason. An alternative reason, that the reason why we want to have Bedik at night, forget about the fact that Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bateihem, leave that on the back burners for the time being. Rav Nachman Yitzchak now has another independent explanation as to why Bedik is Balayla. And that's because of this principle of the Or Haner Meir Yofeh. At night we have a Meir Yofeh. It's like a superior quality light. And it's very interesting that, again, I can't explain the biology here, so you guys will have to Google this, but he says the following, that v'zman shegzeres hashmad, that during Jewish history, there were many periods of time where the Jews had to hide in caves, and all they saw was darkness. How did they know whether it was light or not inside the cave? He says, yadu lahavchin ben yom v'layla l'fi or haner. He says that the or haner and its quality would change. It would be different at night than during the day. So they could tell by looking at the way that the Or HaNer would impact on the cave, you know, light illuminate the cave, they could tell whether it was day or night. Again, you go ahead and Google it and you decide whether this makes sense or not. I'm not going to do that for you. Okay? I'm throwing that into your. So those Rishonim, the Ramchal and the Rabbeinu Chananel, who say that this whole explanation that the superior Bedikah is done at night with the Or HaNer, based on this Yerushalmi, is Pirshu Sheshnei Tamim Yeshkan. That Rav Nachman Yitzchak is giving two fundamental reasons, each one independent of the other. The first reason is Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bateyem. That's the best and easiest way to fulfill the mitzvah B'dika when everyone's there. No one is busy floating around, you know, outside the house. And number two, that the Or HaNer Yofel B'dika means that the Or coming from the candle is superior by nighttime to the Or HaMeir of Yom. Well, now let's see if we can make any sense out of this. He says the following. What if a person wants to do B'dika on the 13th of Nisan? For whatever reason, he's going away, blah, blah, blah. He wants to do a B'dika earlier than the time period. So he says the following. Lidas HaSovrim, according to the opinion of the Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor says that what? That there's really basically one explanation here for B'dika B'laila, and that is B'nei Adam Mitzuyim B'Bateyem. And at this point, the Baal HaMor is not saying that there's a qualitative superiority to B'dika at night. It's just that that's a good time to gather together the people. So he suggests, again, this has to be taken under advisement, that according to the Baal HaMor, if you want to do B'dika on the 13th by day, that's fine. Because again, qualitatively, B'dika by day is just as good as B'dika at night. The problem is getting together. You know, we wanted to make it easier for people to get together and when they're in their house, they could do B'dika. But now we gathered together the people 6 hours earlier instead of waiting to the night of the 14th, midday, let's say. I'm just dramatizing it. On the 13th, we gathered together the people. We have everyone matzli b'bayis. Let's go ahead and do the B'dika. Ulam, however, l'das ha-sovrim, according to the Maram Chalva and the Rabbeinu Chanan, sheshnei tamim yeshkan, that there are two independent reasons why we want to B'dika at night. It's not just because people, it's comfortable and it's easier because everyone's gathered together and we try to make it more feasible to get the whole family together for B'dika, but rather there's another reason why B'dika has to be by night. And that's because Or HaNer is Meir Bayom. I'm sorry, Or HaNer is Meir B'Laila. He's therefore ain't lived up B'yom B'mokom Laila. Even though you've gathered together the people, but we have an independent reason why we prefer Laila, because it's superior quality light at night through the Or HaNer, and that's when the B'dika has to be done at night. Is anyone following me? Again, I'm suggesting, based on what I understand here, you know, if you want, you can go through it yourself, that there's an afkemina here as to whether or not the Or HaNer Yofel B'dika is just an explanation as to why we have no problem in doing a B'dika at night. After all, night is dark, but the answer is the Or HaNer is very reliable at night. So that's okay. We're not comparing Or HaNer, which is Laila, to B'dika Bayom. You know, if you have a lot of sunlight, that might be even better, I don't know. But the real answer to the question as to why they established B'dika is because that makes it easier for everybody. Everyone's all together. The second explanation, according to the second group of Rishonim, is that no. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is offering a second explanation, completely different, independent, as to why B'dika has to be done by Laila. And that's because of the quality of the B'dika. And the nafkamina is going to be, could he gather together his family a day earlier, in the daytime? If you hold like the first pshat, that the Iker reason is what? Is because we're trying to make it easier logistically to engineer the whole family getting together for B'dika. If we can accomplish that 6 hours earlier, 12 noon on the 13th of Nisan, go ahead and do your B'dika. But if you're holding that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gave a second independent explanation as to why the B'dika has to be B'laila, and that's why, because the superior nature and the quality of the B'dika, then you can't do B'dika by day. The Sam Sofer says, L'das HaSovrim Sheshnei Taimim Hem, he wants to suggest the following, that it works the other way around. What does he mean the other way around? That as far as the second reason is concerned, then what difference does it make whether you make the bedikah at the beginning of the night or you make the bedikah at the end of the night? In both cases, or haner yofel bedikah. But if you're going with the principle that bnei adam mitzuyim b'bateihem, then he says, then you have to be bodek at the beginning of the night time, because that's when people come back from their work. They're not preoccupied with anything else. And at that moment, the family is gathered and ready for bedikas chametz. So now it comes out that if you hold that there are two independent reasons, then you may have a double chumrah. You have one chumrah that we're not going to allow you to do bedika by day, because the second reason of Rav Nachman Yitzchak is that the quality of the bedika is enhanced by a bedika selayla. And now we have another chumrah, and that's based on the first answer of the first explanation of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that it has to be b'tchila selayla, the beginning of the night, when the family is gathered together. Then we get to a third point here, and this is the Turei Zav. What happens if a person comes home and it's still light out? He finished his day of work and it's still light out. He says the following. If it's the first explanation of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bateihem, if that's all we have to contend with, anything else is like a tag on. But the real reason is because of Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bateihem. So now if I come home while it's still light out and I got the family gathered together, then I can do bedika then. But if I have the second explanation of Nachman Yitzchak as an independent explanation, meaning that it's Or HaNer Yofel Bedika, then if I come home from my work on the 14th of Nisan and it's still light out, then I have not fulfilled the second requirement, the second explanation of Nachman Yitzchak, namely Or HaNer Yofel Bedika. Chachamim Itzrichu Bedika Balayla. Now this Turei Zav goes on and he adds another explanation here, and he says that Chachamim wanted to find a time for Bdika that's Nikar. Nikar means that everyone knows about it. You know, it's a universal time period. It's not subjective. So this would facilitate that everyone reminds each other that this is the time that they have to do it. And he says that Tchilas HaLaila, that's already a transition in the day, and that's when they establish Bedika. So again, just to summarize, would you be allowed to be Bodek during the day of the 13th? And the answer is it depends. If the thrust of the reason is because of Mitzuyim Bateihem, okay, that makes it easier. But now I got my family together during the day of the 13th, why not? Go ahead and do the Bedika. If you have the second reason, that we need the Or HaNer Yofel Bedika, that the Or HaNer enhances your Bedika, that could only be at night and not during the day. Number two, would you be allowed to be Bodek in the middle of the night? Well, here it goes the other way around. If we take the second explanation of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, namely Or HaNer Yofel Bedika, what difference does it make whether you do it b'tchilas halayla or the middle of the night? If on the other hand you want to get together the whole family, that's only at the beginning of the night. And we had a similar explanation to the Taz. If a person comes home early and it's not yet nighttime and he wants to gather together his family, so it's quite possible that in that case we have Mitzuyim Bateihem, but we won't have Or HaNer Yofel Bedika because it's before nightfall. And then we have another point that we wanted to make, that maybe we need nightfall because that's when we have a Shinui Nikar, that's where we have a transitional period of time and we can uniformly require that everyone do the bedika at the same time. Everyone knows about that change in the astronomical position of the sun, and therefore everyone will remind everyone else.
Is everybody in the house chayv for bedika, or is it just the house has to be baduk? I mean, because it seems that we're making need a hacker. But is there a requirement?
Yeah, it sounds like everyone's on board here. You know, it's like a joint effort. It's sort of like Ner Chanukah.
So I can ask, you kept on saying over and over and over again, when all the family is together. Now, I understand this.
Sorry.
I understood this phrase where it says "Bishashi b'nei adam mitzuyim b'balmeitehem," is that in every house people are at home. I.e., the balabais comes home from work, so therefore all the balabatim are there, and therefore they all do it together. Nowhere does it say about all the family have to come together. And whatever the wife's cooking, the children doing the homework.
Right, right. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I'm not sure. One last point I want to make, and that is, what about the night of the 13th? Now, we discussed the day of the 13th, and we said that you're lacking in Or HaNer Yofel Abdika. But if you're mocked into the night of the 13th, a full 24 hours earlier, then you have the advantage of Or HaNer Yofel Abdika. Presumably, either the Baal HaBayis or anyone else who has to help him and join in the B'dika there, because it's Tchilas HaLaila. So the Poskim say in such a case, he would fulfill his obligation if he does the B'dika on Leil Yud Gimel one day earlier. However, he should avoid doing so if possible, because he won't be able to make a bracha. Now the question is, why can't he make a bracha? If you're telling me, I can't fulfill the mitzvah for reasons unbeknown to me, because in Chorah all the reasons that we gave should be checked off in the case of Leil Yud Gimel. He's got everyone around, or he's around, he's got the Or HaNer Yofel Abdika, so why shouldn't he be able to make a bracha on this?
Maybe for what we said yesterday on Tziruf.
Tziruf what? To the Chag, you mean?
To the Chag, yeah, that it's too far away from the Chag.
Right. I don't know if... So, Asher, I'm going to say it in a little different words. I think we're saying the same thing. I don't think we have to use the word Tziruf. But basically, we need a Zman HaMachayev. Right? We can only say, Asher Kitshonu Mitzvosu Vitzivanu, if we have a Zman HaChiyuv. Now, what the Rabbanan did was, they took Yudalid. The Torah says that you have to destroy your Chomets midday on Yudalid. Ach Be'yom HaRishon Tashbisu. The Rabbanan extended it to include the entire day of Yud Dalet. But if you want to make a bedik on Yud Gimel, so then in that case you're not obligated. So it's not what we call Shas Chovoso. And if it's, he doesn't say anything here, but I think what he means is that it's not Shas Chovoso. And if it's before Shas Chovoso, you can't make a bracha.
That's what we do, isn't it? If you go away,
yeah, I'd have to look it up at Shulchan Aruch. I didn't get a chance to do that. But the point I want to make here is that this whole discussion about Shas Chovoso is very, very complicated. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara says that if a person leaves his house within 30 days before the Chag, he's obligated in the mitzvah of B'dika. And presumably he would make a bracha in that case, because that's already considered Shas Chovoso. So we're going to have to get into really complicated distinctions here, that if you're going to be in your house on your Dalid, then your Gimel is too early, and it's not Shas Chovoso. But if you're going to leave your house within 30 days before the Chag, that engenders a Shas Chovoso. In fact, we're going to have a sugya, I don't know if we'll get it to today, if not today, tomorrow, about a maskir and a socher, right? If I own the house that I rented to you, who has to do the bedika? And the Gemara assumes, at least at one point of discussion, that the maskir who owns the house has to do the bedika, because the house was in his possession on the 13th, which is a pella, because the Shas Chovoso of bedika is on the 14th. So how are you going to tell? So if I signed the rental agreement with you, and you rent as of Tesa Kochov on the 14th of Nisan, because I'm going away and I want to rent my house, hopefully not with Airbnb, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, if you sign that petition. But in any event, if I'm renting you my house as of Yudalid, then Lachora, the Chiyuv Bedika, is chal on you as a socher, as a renter, because at the moment of the Shas Chovoso, you were renting. And yet the Gemara wants to say that since before the Yudalid, meaning on Yud Gimel, he, the maskir, was in possession of the house without a rental agreement, therefore he already was mischayet. And now we're saying that the Shas Chovoso is not chal till Yudalid. Anyway, I'm just pointing out that exactly what the Shas Chovoso of Bedika is a very, very complicated sugya. We hope to get to Amar Abaye. Let's go on to the Gemara. Hilkach. Now that we've established that Bedika has to be Balayla, and again, Rabosai, when we say that Bedika has to be Balayla, is that because of Zriza Makdimim L'mitzvahs?
No.
Absolutely not. Zriza Makdimim L'mitzvahs would never go as far as Laila. And in fact, Rav Nach Bar Yitzchak gave us at least one, if not two, answers to the question as to why the bedikah is balayla. And these answers are not Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvah's answers. Rav Nachman is telling you something about the nature of the Kviyas Chachamim. If this is the way Chachamim will kovea the mitzvah bedikah, then we got to do everything in our power to make sure that no one gets distracted and forgets to do the bedikah. I would even go a step further, that we have to make sure that no one delays the bedikah, that the bedikah should be done b'tchilas halayla, when bnei adam mitzuyim bateim, without any delay. And therefore, says Abaye, we got to worry about a certain group of people. There's a certain group of people that are distracted, and they may forget to do the bedikah. Who are we talking about? Well, okay, just keep it quiet. I'm just you're killing my drama here, Asha. Who are these terrible people who are so busy out there that they'll forget to do the bedikah on time? I would think, you know, people in real estate, you know, people who are investing in the stock market, they're in finance, you know, they're garbage collectors, they have to put in a full day, you know, they're very, very preoccupied. No, those guys we're not worried about. Who are we worried about? Who are the people who are going to forget to do the bdik on time? Haitzurma mirabanan. We're talking about a Torah scholar. Lo liftach biidne biurta detlesa denagi arbesar. He should not open up his studies, even if they're biidne. Biidne means he has a kvius. In other words, every night at that moment of time, with nightfall, he's busy with a certain group of students, or he's busy with a certain mesechta that he learns. It's during his shak vua. You know, Chazal say, "Havi kovei itim laTorah." So the Bali Musa say, "What does it mean kovei itim laTorah?" They should have a time of during the day for Torah study, no matter what happens. I don't care about the AACI. I don't care about the cruises. I don't care about anything. You don't give up on your kviyas in Torah. Once you kovei zman, nothing should push it. Even the bulldozer can't come along. There's stories about Gedolei Yisrael that people came to them, and there was a possibility of investing. So they went to a certain rich guy, and they said, "This is a once in a lifetime investment. You can make a ton of money." He said, "Don't bother me. This is my hour for learning." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezakeh him with great things. So the Tzurmei Rabbanan is Koveya Itim at that moment, and now he has a conflict. Should he stop learning, or should he continue learning? What's going to urgently press him to stop learning? The mitzvah B'dikas Chometz. Not any other mitzvah. B'dikas Chometz. Because B'dikas Chometz is urgent. The whole premise of this sugya is that B'dikas Chometz is urgent. That's why, as I said, the Baal HaMor says you got to do it is exactly that time when it still are. And therefore, he should not get involved in his limud. Again, we'll get back to the word lo liftach in just a minute. There's a lot of literature on the word lo liftach. But basically, he's not going to get involved in learning. On that night that goes from the 13th of Nisan into the 14th of Nisan, that time period is dedicated for B'dikas Chometz, because Dilma, once he starts learning at that transitional period between day and night, the day of the 13th and the night of the 14th, Dilma, we're afraid, Mishchale Shmaita, he'll get so distracted, so involved in his learning, V'asi Limnue Mi Mitzvah, and he won't do the mitzvah. What do you mean he won't do the mitzvah? How long is he going to be learning? An hour? 2 hours? So if not at 7 o'clock, he'll finish his kfiyas at 9 o'clock? What's catastrophic? Let him do the bdik at 9 o'clock. No, we want the bdik at 7 o'clock. And I'll tell you the truth, when I first learned this Gemara, I thought the Gemara was referring to the Rugged Shava. You know, the Rugged Shava, when he started learning, he was in a different world. He was totally oblivious to the world around him. And the story goes, I can't vouch for the story, but the legend they don't tell about me, maybe about you, but not about me. He had to go through surgery. They wanted to give him anesthesia. And he refused. He said, just give me a minute. I'll get involved in a sugya and go ahead and do the surgery. Do you believe a story like that? I don't know. That's up to you. It's an urban legend, I guess you call it. But they don't tell stories like that about you and me. The rugged Shava was in a different world when he was learning. And he needed Torah like literally like a fish needs water. The story goes about the rugged Shava. They caught him learning during Avelus. Rebbe, my high. He says, for me not to learn would be taking away my oxygen. I just can't. So for a person like that, Mishchalei, what's the Gemara's language? Mishchalei Shmaite. Get the Rugged Shabbos started on a sugya. He's oblivious to life around him. I have a close friend of mine who does what's called programming in computers. He tells me that when he gets into programming, and I don't know if anyone here can relate to this and tell me their own stories in life, he could go for 8 hours without eating, without going to the bathroom, pardon the expression. He's totally oblivious to time. For 8 hours straight. And I said to him, my good buddy, I said, Teddy, I wish my learning would be like your program. And for 8 hours, I'm in a different world. So I want to share with you some of the literature on this statement of Abaye. And I'm beginning with the Ran and the Ramchal. They say that if the reason for bedikas chametz at night would only be zrizim makdin lemitzvahs, we would allow this Talmud Chacham to continue his regular learning. Why upset him from his kviyas b'Torah? But now that we've determined and established that bedikas chametz min adin has to be balayla, because that's when the people are there and that's when they establish the mitzvah or aner yofel b'dika, we're not going to allow him to get involved in learning until he finishes his bedikas chametz. And the Taz says the following, that they wanted to define a specific moment within the day and pin down bedikas chametz to that moment, to that split second. And that would be at the transitional period between day and night, when everybody's coming home and the Oran Erev is yofel bedika. And they wanted the bedikas chametz to take place exactly at that moment. And therefore, kedesh lo yimoshech b'ktzas, even if it means that by getting involved in learning, let's say he has a kfiyas to learn one perek. So how long is it going to take him to learn the perek? Nevertheless, don't get involved in learning. Why is this only a tzur mimrabbanan? Says the Chasam Sofer that b'nei adam mitzuyim b'teyem, the oz mesaimim amalocha upnuyim hem. We're not worried about anyone else. All the other bali malocha, they come home at night, they're ready for bedik. But Talmud Chacham, even when he's at home at night, he's tarut. He's still learning Torah. He's osik b'Torah so tamid, and therefore you can't tell me that he's going to be ready and free panui for bedikah at that moment. And therefore, we have to deal with these Talmidei Chachamim, make sure that they don't get involved in learning. And finally, it says, lo liftach b'idni. Remember, I told you to underline the word liftach. And Abai says the following, you're not allowed to start learning. That's the issue. The Torah says that just like in Malacha, you shouldn't start a Malacha at that time period, or you shouldn't start a meal at that time period. You should dedicate yourself to Bedikas Chametz. Then, in the case of learning, which is even more, you know, engrossing, and it might get you involved, and moshech, for sure, you shouldn't start learning at that time period. So the word liftach means to start learning. And now we have to go through the Shulchan Aruch, not now, but in the future, because we're going to be spending a lot of time in Bedikas Chametz, and we want to know what happens if he started his learning during the daytime of the 13th. Can he continue into the night? Some people will say that the Torah means to say, lo liftach b'idna, but Abai meant is you're not allowed to be maschil b'limud, but if you already started, that's okay. Now, many poskim say that bedikas chametz is after arvis. Apparently, we're not afraid in the case of Arvis that he'll become so involved in Tfilas Arvis that he might postpone his Bedikah. He'll finish Arvis and immediately come home and do his Bedikah. The Meiri writes that this whole business of Liftach What does Abai mean when he says Loliftach? He shouldn't begin. He means he's learning something and he's beginning, meaning he never learned this before. It's his first time around. It's new material. And he says when you get to new material, and maybe Don, you can confirm this in terms of what you're doing now, it's Hascholos Kashos. The beginning is the most difficult because you're being exposed to a whole new way of thinking, a whole new discipline. So the Meiri quotes this opinion in the name of the Yesh Ovrim. And this opinion is going to be more lenient if the Talmud Chacham is reviewing that which he already knows. If he's reviewing something which he already knows, it's not, we don't really have to worry that he'll get so involved and engrossed that he'll forget about Bedikah, he'll delay Bedikah. The Meiri himself rejects this. He says, ain't okay, that's not true. Kol Shmuah Shmuah. Anytime a person learns something, even if he's reviewed it a million times, he's Nimshach Achareah, he will see new insights. Adarabah, the more times that he's learned it, the more he'll see deeper meanings. V'kolshkin, and how much more so in such a case, shu nimshach hareo, that he'll be engrossed in his learning, he gets more enjoyment, and therefore he might delay his bedikas chum. So let's just summarize what we saw over here. We saw a velt, a whole world of material over here. First of all, why is Abai worried about it serving Rabbanan and nobody else? And the answer is because everybody else comes home at that hour, the Mitzuyim Bebateyem, and at home, you know, they relax, they take off their shoes, they're on the recliner, they smoke a pipe, everything is good. They'll do the bedikah. But a Talmud Chacham, even when he's at home, it makes no difference. He vacillates, he gravitates towards his study, opens up his Sfarim, and he's Torah Belimud, he's completely preoccupied. We have a problem over here. We have to make sure he doesn't do it. The Taz said that we have to make sure that everyone does Bedikah at a very specific time. That's the way Chazal wanted. It's Zman Mugdar Umesuyam, and therefore that transitional moment between day and night, that's the moment for Bedikah. There's no delay. And then we said, what does Abai mean by Lo Liftach? And we gave two interpretations. One interpretation is the Yesh Ovrim quoted by the Meiri, that he's learning something for the first time around. That's very difficult. Hascholos Koshos. The second definition was that Lo Liftach means he's not allowed to start learning, but perhaps if he already started learning Mibodyom during the day of the 13th, we would not be so careful and force him to stop his learning. So Rabosai, we're about to start a major sugya. I can't say we're going to finish it. Maybe not, but at least we'll start it. Kol Hascholos Koshos. Boy minei mi Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. It seems that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was the popular guy with regard to Bedikas Chum. So they asked Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak the following question. Amaskir bayis l'chaveru bar basar. If there's a rental agreement that's signed between Reuven and Shimon on the 14th, that means Shimon takes over Reuven's flat on the 14th. Al mi livdok? Who has to do the bedika? Al amaskir livdok? Okay. Oh, Dilma, I'm skipping. Al asocher livdok. Is it going to be the maskir, the one who owns the apartment, or the socher? You know, bedika is on the one hand a mitzvah. Everybody wants to get a mitzvah, but bedika is a little complicated of a mitzvah. In fact, it seems that at the time of the Gemara, very often they would pay professionals to do the bedika for them. So bedika is really an expense. It's like arnona. You know, when you rent someone an apartment, who pays the arnona? You know, who pays? So as far as the electric bills, I think it's pretty clear that the socher pays the electric
bills. That's countrywide. It's not just arnona.
What's countrywide?
That whether the renter or the rentor has to pay the arnona.
Depends on how
it's by law, you say.
No, it's not by law. I'm saying that's always an issue. So you have to fix it in the contract because technically the person who's renting by custom, he's supposed to do it. But you
can make exceptions to the rule. So here we want to know who has to pay for bedikas chum. You know, is it the renter or is it the rentor? So Gemara says the following. Al amaskir livdok. What's the logic that compels me to impose this obligation on the maskir? The chamir didehu. He owns the chametz. Let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says at the beginning of Pesachim that the reason why we have to be bodik is because Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, that you shouldn't have ownership over the chametz. Well, who's going to violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh? Is the maskir or the socher? Everybody?
Both.
No, the socher is not in violation. It's not his chametz. You left your chametz in the apartment. You come and take it, my friend. I'm not responsible for your chametz.
Well, wait a minute. The socher is...
Socher, I'm not responsible for your comments.
No, the socher is living there. The
doesn't matter. By Rabbi Yematze requires ownership, right? We spoke about bittul. Remember that my introduction to this mesechta was that if you mevatel your chametz and you get rid of your ownership of the chametz, it's not yours.
But my landlord hasn't got any chametz in our flat. We're living there. He hasn't got any chametz there.
Well, maybe then.
Well, then why do a bedikah? If there's no chametz there, means he must have done a bedikah. When he rented you the apartment, did he do a bedikah or did he not?
No.
So then there's chametz there. Words, the halacha assumes that if you didn't do a bedikah, there's chametz there. The whole year round, he brought chametz there.
No, the landlord doesn't come to my apartment.
I'm talking before the.
Okay.
Before you rent. Right. The whole year round.
When I do bedikah, I do bedikah everywhere. I mean, so if he's got chametz there, I'll find his chametz.
But why are you responsible? You don't want that hassle of doing bedikah on his chametz. Do I have to clean up your rubbish? Pardon the expression. Let him come and clean up.
We both have to do it. Why should he?
Well, no, I don't have to do bedikah because if the bais is bodik, I didn't bring any chametz into the house. Bedikah is only if I brought chametz into that. So who brought the chametz into? If there is chametz there, because no one did a bedikah.
Both did, obviously.
No. The socher never brought chametz in. Follow this case.
Fine. Right? If you say that, then fine.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the must.
If the socher brought chametz in, no question, no doubt about it, he has to do bedikah. That's not an issue.
As well as the muskin.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Maybe if the socher is obligated because of his own chametz, maybe that'll cover. You know, he can kill two. I don't know. That's a good question. But again, that's not the what's on the agenda here. Is the following: the maskir brings in his chametz the whole year round, 365 days out of the year. Now, on the day 366, which is the 14th of Nisan, he rents the house to his socher. The socher says to him, You want me to do bedikah? I'm not obligated to bedikah on his chametz. He's got the issue of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. I don't have the issue of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Oh, Dilma, says the Gemara, maybe Isurei Birshusei Koi. Now remember Tosis. Tosis says that why do we want to get rid of the chametz? Rabosai, why? He might come to eat it. Who's going to eat this chametz on Pesach? The maskir or the socher? The socher might eat the chametz. So again, he's living with the chametz. It's a, you know, there's a beautiful piece of I call the Chiffon's bakery because I'm reminiscing to my childhood, right? And it's a beautiful piece of pastry. Who's going to eat it? Not the maskir. The maskir has no access to the house. It's only the socher. No, there's no isur gzeila. If the maskir leaves chametz in the house, there's no isur gzeila. By definition, there's no isur gzeila because it's isur adnah. Isur adnah, there's no gzeila on isur adnah. But I don't even want to get into that. Just forget about that. He's not such a tzaddik, Michael. He sees a piece of this. He assumes that, you know, without even thinking, that he wants to have a bite of it. And does he, you know. So again, Rabosai, the issue here is the following. Is ownership the key of keys? Who owns the chametz or who's living with the chametz? Now, at this point, the Gemara makes an analogy. You know what? We have a similar, almost mirror image question with regard to mezuzah. Who has to put up a mezuzah? The maskir or the socher? Well, let's just think about it. The maskir owns the house. The socher, on the other hand, is living in the house. And the Gemara assumes, again, I don't know how to make sense out of this, I'm just telling you what the Gemara says, that if we can come to a conclusion about who has to put up a mezuzah, whether it's the owner of the house or the renter who's living in the house, then we can therefore, by analogy, come to a conclusion who's obligated in bedikas chametz, the owner of the house or the one who's living in the house.
Not the same analogy.
Okay, I'm just saying, again, Michael, you got to go step by step here. You know, you can't, Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm just telling you, the Gemara is assuming an analogy. We're going to have to analyze this analogy from seven different bedikas, you know, pardon the pun, but it's a very difficult analogy. The Gemara assumes that if I can prove to you that either the maskir or the sofer, one of the two, is chayav in mezuzah, that would ipso facto give me the following conclusion that I can prove to you whether the maskir or the sofer is chayav in bedika. And the only equation that I can give you now is that in both cases is a maskir and a sofer. Beyond that, I don't see any analogy whatsoever. But at least on a very superficial level, we have a case of a maskir and a sofer, and the question is who's obligated. So also, if you haven't seen the next line of Gemara, if you have, don't even bother answering my question, because that would be unfair. Who do you think should do the put up the mezuzah? Who's obligated the mezuzah? The owner of the house or the one who's living in the house?
Who's living in the house?
Wow, you're a big Talmud Chacham. I would have said it's the owner of the house. I'm renting your house, I got to put up your mezuzah? Give me a house with mezuzahs. In fact, halacha is that in general, with maybe very minute exceptions, the maskir has to give a house that's livable. Livable means there are mezuzahs up there. In Chutz Laaretz, you give them a 30-day, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's no, you know, the day you move in, you have to put up mezuzahs. So the Gemara comes up with a curveball. This is what Abby was saying before. And the Gemara says, Hasam, there it's different. Why? Ha'omar Rav Masharshia Mezuzah Chovas Hadari. The Torah says Mezuzos Beisecha, and the Gemara Menachah says that the word Beisecha, again this goes on based on principles of Drush, so again it's very complicated, but it says Biasecha. Biasecha means the one who goes in and out. He's the one who has to put up the Mezuzah. So Gemara says the following. Don't tell me about Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz, there's a very strong reason that the maskir should have to do the Bedika. Because what? It's his Chametz. But in the case of Mezuzah, there the Torah says, Biasecha Biascha. It's the one who goes in and out of the house, he's the one who's obligated to put up the Mezuzah. Rashi here adds another element into the equation which is absolutely mind-boggling. Because I never knew that Rashi was a Lubavitcher Chassid until I saw this Rashi. Nobody laughed at my joke. Rashi was way before Lubavitch. There was Judaism before Lubavitch. I mean, I hope you realize that. And Rashi was, how could Rashi have been a Lubavitcher? But Rashi says, you know why the Socher is obligated to Bedika? What does the Torah mean when it says Biascha? Rashi says Shmira. That the Mezuzah protects him. Now I ask you the following question. Is that physical or metaphysical? I mean, if there's a fire, Chas V'Shalom, is the fire going to stop because you have a mezuzah on it? There's an animal attacking, it's going to... This is metaphysical. And Rashi says that who needs the mezuzah? It's the socher who's living there. Why? Because the biascha means shmiras ha-mezuzah, okay? You know, in Lubavitch they say, check your mezuzahs, right? You remember this? Unbelievable stories. Again, I don't know if they're urban legends, but they tell stories, they checked, and they found, you know, there was a hole in the word banecha, and that's why your son, Chas V'Shalom, was hurt, or he was ill. You know, all the stories about checking your mezuzahs. So I never in my wildest dreams thought that Rashi was aware of this concept. You know, Rashi's a litvak, isn't he? A litvak knows halacha. You got to put up a mezuzah. Tell me he's obligated to mezuzah. Don't talk to me about shmira. And Rashi says the following. Take a look at this Rashi. My eyes popped out when I saw this Rashi. Rashi says, Chovas Hadar, it's on the fourth of the wide lines. And Rashi says, Lefi Shehi Misham Rosso. Do you see those three words? Again, I don't know if anyone here is as excited or as shocked as I am. I'd like to sort of impart my emotional feelings about this Rashi to you. This is mind-boggling, that Rashi should say that the mezuzah is in charge of Shmira. Now, who needs Shmira? The maskir owns the house or the sokhu who's living in the house? Obviously, the sokhu who's living in the house. Uksiv, and now Rashi quotes the Gemara Menachas. See, this is where I would have started, but Rashi has a whole piece before this. Beisecha, mezuz beisecha biyoscha. And the Gemara says in Menachas that beisecha means biyoscha, nichnas viyotze bo. Okay, so again, Rabosai, who's obligated to put up the mezuzah? The socher. Is the soaker obligated bedikas chametz? Maybe yes, maybe no. Don't prove anything from mezuzah. Question is, what's the halamina of the Gemara? What was the Gemara thinking in the halamina to make a tzushtel an equation to mezuzah? Says Rashi, aval hacha bedikas chametz derabbanan. Okay, bedikas chametz is derabbanan, but my high, why is that relevant to this discussion? Our question was, who has to do the bedika? The masker owns the chametz, the socher is living with the chametz. And Rashi says, well, it's only a derabban. So what? To imi shum bal yirah bal yimotze, this was the kasha that Tosfos raised at the beginning of the Masechta. Why do you tell me that I need bedika for bal yirah bal yimotze for ownership? Hamina lekama, and the Gemara is going to say on Daf Dalet Amud Beis the Sagile bibitul. You remember we had a whole choir here about that. Midoraisa bibitul bialma sagi. For anyone who remembers that, and if you forgot it, I have it on tape, I think. So the Gemara says that bitul is enough. Why? Because once I do bitul, it's not my chametz anymore. So there's no problem about your rabbi matzah. So who's inventing bidikas chametz? If there's no problem about your matzah, it must be a rabbinic invention. Wow, here's where Rashi defines bittul. We're going to have to come back to this Rashi over and over and over again. Rashi gives you a capsulized formulation of the essence of bittul. Number one, Rashi says, he's not interested. He's not interested in the chametz. Number two, Rashi says, mashrile ke afra. He makes it into the dust. He considers it like the dust on the earth. The omer, number three, has to have a declaration. Kol chamira divibes ha'adain, all chametz in this house, and Rashi says v'chule is lehevi hefker v'ki afra diara v'rabbanan hu diyitzrof bedika. So as far as the Torah is concerned, he's covered his bases. The rabbanan required bedika v'hashta. And now in the case of maskir v'socher ki hay gavna, in this scenario mi boil on, we have a safek torach ze al mi mutal. Which I would translate as this hassle of bedik. You know, there's certain mitzvahs don't steal them from me. I want that opportunity, and I'm going to sue you if you take the mitzvah away from me. But in bedika, like it's like pass the, you know, what do we say? Pass the ball. But there's another phrase I'm looking for. But nobody wants to take on bedika. Rashi says it's a Torah gadol. I don't want to have the hassle of bedika. Okay, Rabotzai, so this is where we're going to stop. And Belinated, tomorrow we're going to try to analyze this whole sugya about Maskir V'socher. It's one of the most famous sugyas in Masechta
Pesachim. So Rashi's saying, because bittul is enough, then the Mishmir.
And if Dika is only what?
The
Rabbanon. Right. Now the Rabbanon have to decide who's going to be obligated in this tirah. Is the one who owns the chametz? He's really the source of the problem.
No, he's not.
Or is the one who's living in that?
He's not solving the problem.
He's just telling you it has nothing to do with mezuzah. Mezuzah is a doraisa, and the Torah said that the one who's living in the house is called a dar. He has to do. He has to put up the mezuzah.
I missed that.
But when the Rabbanon came along, they instituted bedika. Upon whose shoulders do they impose this compelling, this obligation of bedika? So tomorrow we're going to analyze the various studies why the maskir should be chayav and the socher.
I think I've shot you in the cave. You can definitely see the difference in cave, because there's no such thing as a cave without some light coming into it. Once you have a cave, you have an opening, you have some light. So it's only when you don't have any light that you're going to see the difference. It's going to be the candle's going to be much clearer, much brighter when there's no outside light. And then it's going to be. So you're going to
Is that true? LP physics.
Try any cave. There's always some light somewhere along in the cave. There's reflection, whatever. There's a light from the outside. As long as
I'm asking the following. Bottom line, if I understand you correctly, I'm a cave dweller. Okay. Right. For whatever reason, I'm running away from the Romans. I'm looking at this candle. I'm going to tell you whether it's day or night.
Because
that was a shockeroo.
The lumens. The amount of light that it's going to give off is going to be much greater relative to how you see it. It's going to be much greater when it's totally dark, as opposed to when there's some light coming in from different places.
Yeah, you're looking at the words. It affects the cave. It's not really affecting cave. It's affecting
the light. The light from the cave.
Yeah.
So Don, you understood intuitively that if I would close every source of light here, and it's pitch black mamish. I'm going to tell you after 5 days, you know, and I lost my count of time. I'm going to light a candle, tell you whether it's day or night.
That's what I'm saying.
But a cave has an opening.
A cave has an opening. You can't have a cave without an opening. And if you're telling me you're putting me in a room, a totally dark room, totally dark, then yes, I would agree with you.
I can't tell the difference.
But if you put me in the cave, I can't. I have to breathe. There's going to be light coming. There's going to be air coming in. As long as the air coming in, there's going to be light coming in. As long as some light, even a small amount, I'm going to be able to see the difference.
In the front of the cave.
But wait a minute. Am I seeing the difference because of the light?
Because of the light.
Ah, he's saying something else again. Our goal is that Or HaNer Yofel Abdika, that the Or itself is superior.
It is superior because there's no dark. There's no light. Why is it not good during the day? The candle's not good during the day because there's light. It's only when there's no light that the candle is effective. The enhancement of the light of the candle is when there is no other light.
Now that I agree with you, but we go through the Yishalmi inside, but I thought the Yishalmi was saying that the quality of the light is superior to daylight.
It is.
And I'll prove it to you because I see a different quality of light because it's nighttime. Okay, whatever.
I think that's what he's saying.
I think it's because it's more direct. When you hold a candle, you're closer to the source. The sun is too far away. There's an extra.
Okay. Oh, an extra, thanks. Okay. You know, I'm going to be a scholar of residence of Boca Raton, but not at this shul. Yeah. You know that? Is there a thing like this? There's nothing like this at the other shul.
Not like that, but there may be.
I don't know the name.
My nephew is the associate rabbi of the earth. Of Moskowitz. Philip, yeah. It's Philip Moskowitz.
But he's at this one.
He's at
the earth. So that's not where I'll be. I'll be in a different
shul. I'm a member of the earth. That's his creation.
Philip.
That book.
Yeah.
It's an amazing piece of work. And the quality of the paper. Wait, tell me something. What's the name of the other shul where I'll be?
I think Bar Tor, you're in Boca Raton Century Village.
Yeah.
Does it say?
No, it wouldn't say it here.
They might.
Why would it say it here?
Because they were
inclusive. Oh, really? I thought it's a different shul entirely.
It is.